would be the 133rd Psalm. We're going to ask Sister Donna Cook to read the Psalm for us.
I can see it. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard that run down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew of the descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded its blessings, even life forevermore. I couldn't see that good. I'm sorry.
I hope all our readers can see the screen. If not, maybe there's enough light for you to look at your sheets that you've got. But this psalm, I think a lot of us appreciate, probably all of us do, because it shows the desire we all have that we can, as Israel did in old, dwell together in unity. As they had their journeys to Jerusalem every year to celebrate their unity in the Passover and the Feast of Weeks, so we have our celebrations of our unity as well. This is what makes us all part of the one family of God. We'd like to sing that hymn now. Well, Sister Florence, play it through once, and then I'll sing the hymn. Let's join in. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by blood, joined here with Jesus as we travel with God. I'm a part of the family, a family. House of pain, no longer now. The 133rd Psalm, upon which our Vesper is based today, is called a Song of Degrees. And there are various thoughts that as to why these Psalms 120 to 134 are called a Song of Degrees. Some feel they were sung every year as the pilgrims would travel to Jerusalem. And as they would go along the way, like Chaucer's Tales, they would be sung to remind them of their journey to the Promised City, of the journey to the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Passover. And finally, when they almost got there, and the second to last of the Psalms, they saw each other coming over the mountain road from different parts of the country, and they would sing about this song about how good and how pleasant it was for them to come together in unity. Others feel it was when David was anointed king over all 12 tribes, that one of David's great dreams had been to unite the kingdom. And for the first 6 years of his reign, he was only king over 2 tribes. And then he became king over all 12. He wrote these songs, and one of these was this song again about the unity of the all 12 tribes coming together. So another thought is that it was when David returned after Absalom's death, that then at that time when he came back and the kingdom was almost torn in sunder and it was again reunited, he sang in jubilation songs that may have been very similar to this song. And still others feel it was by Hezekiah after the sundial turned back 15 degrees, because there are 15 songs here, one for each degree, then went back. And I think Brother Tom gave a talk on that in our class not too long ago, showing the application of it that way. But whatever. Whatever the thought, no matter how the Song of Degrees came to being, they do climax with the wonderful thought of coming together in unity, of bringing together disparate people, those from different parts of the land, whatever they may be, into one united body. And that's a goal that we should strive for at all times. I think we all agree. The Apostle Paul speaks about the same unity in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Sister Jackie Beard to read this for us.
I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
The different elements of the unity of the Spirit. There is one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one in God and Father of all. Paul says in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. Some may be a muscle in the little toe. Others may be a strong shoulder muscle. Some may have to do with the power of the hand and serving God and doing His will. But whatever the part they play it not as individuals, but we play it as in unity, all part of this one body of Christ. In the book that has come out several years ago about a memorial meditation, there's a beautiful expression about this thought about the one body, and we'd like to have that read for us by Sister Linda Larson.
Another part of the travail of our soul is losing our identity in the body of Christ. In any ecclesia arrangement or operation of a group of brethren, there are prominent names. As less prominent brethren in any group, we might make suggestions and ideas or perform a task, and others get the credit. When we consecrated to do the Lord's service, not our own service. This is a part of the crushing of the grapes whereby we lose our identity in the body of Christ. This cup is composed of many grapes, but it is only as each grape is crushed and loses its identity that it becomes part of the whole body of Christ. Why must we lose our identity in the body of Christ? We are being prepared to work in a kingdom, but it is not our kingdom, it is the Lord's kingdom. Our work in that kingdom will be for His glory and not for our own. Others getting the credit for work or an idea that we had is another aspect of the travail of our soul.
We had the privilege last evening and again this today of hearing Brother Lev Bausch from Israel tell about some of the experiences in their country. And he was saying that the one thing that made all the experiences stand out is they were not what man has done. It's only what the Lord has done for them. That none of the experiences could be claimed. That when they have a bombing stopped, they don't say, we stopped the bombing, but they say it's a miracle. And they give the credit to the Lord. We must do that in all of our experiences, to look at them not as things we brought about. If we've had successes, they're not ours. They're the Lord's. If we've had failures, they may not even be ours. It may be the Lord's overruling to teach us the lesson in them. So whatever it may be, they are to draw us together into this thought of the oneness of the body of Christ. Then he talks about one spirit. Remember how the day of Pentecost, the one spirit came down as one lump of fire, and then individual tongues were cut off to set on each one of the apostles. Now, there's a lovely expression of this one spirit and how it operates on reprint page 81. And I don't think I put down who had this one. I don't think anybody's assigned this. Oh, okay, Bob Crane has it. Okay, very good. Oh, yes, now I see it. Brother Bob?
There are many, many scriptures which assert the unity of the body. The diversity does not weaken the fact of the unity any more than the diversity in the families of man weakens their relationship. There is much comfort in the assurance that the fact of this fact gives to all who have put in Christ. They are all one in Jesus Christ. It is a great encouragement to all, for the least who retains this vital union with Christ is as certain of eternal life as the greatest. To see the appreciation of this unity and indivisibility would destroy the sectarianism and endure Christians one to another.
There was another quote from, yesterday's talk that I enjoyed very much. He said that in the Galilee area where Brother Bausch lives, there's about 50% Jews and 50% Arabs, and they have no problems. And so they get along in perfect peace in that particular area of the country. So this is not true of other areas, but he said that in their particular area, they have come to a bonding, and the Arabs have accepted the Jews, and the Jews have accepted the Arabs, and they live comfortably one with each other. We have such a need of the unity of the Spirit, because we come from diverse backgrounds, particularly when we consider the countries throughout the world. And it's only as we show the spirit of unity and the spirit of love that they'll know we are Christians. In fact, that's the song we're going to sing next. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And in this song, we're going to, again, Sister Florence will play it through once, and then we'll sing it. Sing together. seeing here a number of our beloved couples together, and we know the love that binds them and their marital bonds. If we can share that kind of love within the Christian bonds, then they'll know we are Christians. We're also to have one hope of our calling. This reading from the reprints is read by Sister Janine Farrell.
One hope of your calling. No one can read the New Testament with care without discovering that the members of the early church were men of hope as well as men of faith. Indeed, hope seems more than faith to have been the outstanding feature of the character. Not that they really had more of this than that. The twain were one. They formed one noble edifice, one stately ship. But faith was the foundation work. Hope raised upon it caught the eye of the beholder. Faith lay beneath the waterline. Hope reared the mast and spread the sail high in the sight of men. Their faith looked back to Calvary, but in a sense it was an act completed. They were not always looking backward. Forward they peered with steady gaze. The attitude of expectation was their daily, hourly attitude. Something was about to happen. Someone was coming. And they are seen to be on tiptoe, looking for and hasting to the event.
I'm always amazed at the eloquence of Brother Russell's writings. And I love the thought here that the thought of the Lord's return, they stand on tiptoe. You can just picture them standing on tiptoe, waiting eagerly at that event. That's such a beautiful expression. Let's think about the one hope we have in the hymn Dawning Day. The number is down in the corner. I can't read it, but maybe you can. That far. Next feature is one Lord. We're trying to carve ourselves into one image, the image of Christ-likeness. You are doing it in your way, I'm doing it in mine. But each of us, hopefully, is doing it as we're led by the Lord's hand. Only He can form the image within us. I appreciate the thoughts on sculptures recently from one of our studies, where it brought out that in a sculpture, everything is carved away that is not needed. It's just what is left. That is the perfect sculpture. And often what is left is less in volume than the whole of the block of stone from which the sculpture started. And so we need to be carved into that same image, in the image of our Lord and Master, the image of Jesus Christ Himself. A beautiful poem about this. Tell me about the Master. Sister Wanda Jay will read that for us.
Tell me about the Master. Tell me about the Master. I am weary and worn tonight. The day lies behind me in shadow, and only the evening is light. Light with a radiant glory that lingers about the west. My poor heart is weary, oh weary, and longs like a child for rest. Tell me about the Master. Of the hills he in loneliness trod, when the tears and blood of his anguish dropped down on Judea's sod. For to me, life's 70 milestones but a sorrowful journey mark. Rough lies the hill country before me. The mountains behind me are dark. Tell me about the Master. Of the wrongs he freely forgave, of his love and tender compassion, of his love that is mighty to save. For my heart is a-weary, a-weary, of the woes and temptations of life, of the error that stalks in the noonday, of falsehood and malice and strife. Yes, I know that whatever of sorrow or pain or temptations befall, the infinite Master has suffered and knoweth and pitieth all. So tell me the sweet old story that falls on each wound like a balm, and my heart that is bruised and broken shall grow patient and strong and calm.
How often I appreciate that text, that my little children, see that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That one advocate is there for each of us, as there to help draw us closer together, to be one closer to the Lord in the one Lord. Let's go on to the next element, which is one faith. And this reading we have from Sister Vicki Griffith.
One faith. Harmony does not mean a likeness. Rather, it signifies unity with diversity. The Lord's will respecting his people does not contemplate exact sameness, wholly ignoring individual characteristics and peculiarities. On the contrary, a diversity with harmony is more desirable than a sameness, as, for instance, it is the harmonious union of the seven colors that constitutes the beauty of the rainbow.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh. So also, in music, one strikes a chord on the piano or the organ, and the result is harmony, oneness, union. The variety of the notes gives a melody which could not be obtained from any one of them, or from a sameness of equal volume.
And so in this one faith, there is a variety of themes that come together, like one gigantic jigsaw puzzle. You find a piece that fits here, you find a piece that fits there. When finally all the pieces come together, the entire mosaic is present, where you can see the beauty ever newer of God's plan of the ages. And encouraging one another to do this, so often we may have a tendency to look at each other and to see the little faults, the little failings, the little shortcomings they have in either conduct or in doctrine. And we sometimes tend to be critical. Several years ago, when I was still a very young Christian, there was a song that was written that meant a lot to me at the time and still means a lot to me. And that thought was our responsibility to not look for the faults in each other, but to look for the good. We're going to have the Young People's Choir sing it for us, and it's called Let Us Good and Others Find. I like the slogan that's on the bottom of the slide. It says, teamwork allows common people to attain uncommon results. Let us good and others find. Can the choir see?
Thank you.
for the older members of the congregation, those words were Brother Martin Mitchell. He wrote those words as a hymn during very troubled times among the brethren, and it was his way of getting across that message. The music was by Brother Ken Wade Bordes. Paul goes on, there's one baptism. We've all been immersed into one common goal, to serve the Lord, to commonly be dead with Him, so that unitedly we may live with Him. And this idea of the baptism is such a beautiful symbol, not only of the individual immersion, but of the collectivity of the whole body, seeing and witnessing the consecration of each other, and right there making a commitment to extend the right hand of fellowship, so that we can be an encouragement to those who have newly baptized. The baptism of each one means a commitment to enter upon a life that often will be a life that will entail not just joys, but sufferings as well. Brother Aaron Keemichael read the expression for us on the fellowship of his sufferings.
The fellowship of his sufferings. No real joy in life, we know, but in his service sweet. As the new joy of the Lord, the fellowship of the Spirit, and of the brethren along Bible lines come into our hearts, all other joys are negatived. If any of God's consecrated people lose this special joy, they are sad indeed. But it can be maintained by maintaining our relationship to the Lord, our fellowship with Him in the sufferings of the present time. Then the glory will surely follow.
I see Mark had probably the same word I did. I think negative is not really a good word. I think we would today use the word negated. They are put aside alongside of the real joy of the Lord and the fellowship of the Spirit. But joy is such a fantastic thing. You know, joy is spelled sometimes Jesus, others, you. If we keep that ratio there and put Jesus first, another second, and ourself last, we'll find the true happiness and true joy that can come. The Lord has given us so much to be joyful about. With such great joys, how can it be sad? How we need to each count our blessings, count our many blessings, to name them one by one. And as we name our blessings, we'll find that the sorrows we have are sort of fade to the side. In the fellowship of the sufferings, there's also the fellowship of activity together. And we like to sing together a hymn we all know well, the hymn, To the Work.
Calling on,
There still remains one more of the attributes of unity, and that is one God and Father of us all. The fact that in addition to one Lord, we have above Him one God. We're all taught to pray the same prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is no longer to us just a creator, a mighty one, but he is Abba Father. He's one we can approach at any time. His ear is ever open to our cry. He's always there for the urgent prayer of those who are looking for him. And that unity is there for each one of us because we have the same God to look to and appreciate. Let's sing together Our Refuge. It's our hymn number 61. Let's come back to our theme text, the 133rd Psalm, where we have just two illustrations of this unity of that was seen in Israel and that we are to have amongst the church. That unity is as the precious ointment that ran down upon Aaron, upon his head, down to the skirts of his garment. We all have the same anointing. We all have the same privilege of being with Christ and preaching his word because we come under that anointing that was Lord and Master, and pass it down to us. The quotation about our one anointing, anointed as priest, Brother Peter Kravis will read for us.
I have something different than what you have up on the screen.
Oh,
mine says the proper thought.
Let's try that. See if that works. Thank you, Peter.
I could have read both. The proper thought respecting the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that of an outpouring, a shedding forth, an anointing, which, however, is so complete, covering every member of the body, as to be properly designated an immersion or baptism. And this same anointing or baptism continues upon the church down through the age, covering, permeating, sanctifying, blessing, anointing, from then until now, each one who comes into the anointed body. And this will continue until the last member has been received and fully anointed. The Apostle John, speaking also of this baptism, styling it an anointing, says, "The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." He does not say the numerous anointings which ye have received, but the anointing, the one anointing, more being quite superfluous and out of harmony with the divine arrangement.
And this one anointing is common to all of the church. Each one is anointed for the same purpose. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good tidings, to comfort, to bind up, to heal, to be witness to the Word of God in the world around us. That is one commission for all of us. The same thought is brought forth in the Songs of the Night from January 27th Sister Sandy Griffin will read that for us.
What a satisfaction, what a comfort has come to the Lord's people through their privilege of being used by Him and adopted into His family by the begetting of the Holy Spirit, the adoption of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the holy influence, the blessing of the Father and of the Son, guiding our judgments, guiding our hearts, opening to us the Scriptures, causing our hearts to burn within us, as we are brought to a still greater appreciation of the lengths and breadths and heights and depths of our Father's glorious plan of salvation for ourselves and all the families of the earth. Truly, as our Lord said, the Holy Spirit shows us things to come and explains to us things that are past. How many of our blessings are along the line of appreciation of coming things, the millennial kingdom and the times of restitution, the uplifting and strengthening of all the families of the earth.
The same thought of the one anointing, the one baptism, the entire oneness and unity that comes to us. Unity is pictured so well in the anointing of came down upon Aaron's beard and flowed down to the skirts of his garment. There's a song in the camp song book that we're going to ask the young people to sing. It's called The Oneness of the Family of God. If our choir will come up and sing that for us. And you have to excuse me that I misspelled the name of Brother Obanasaki on top. It's Obasaki. I got one too many syllables on there. We have one illustration left in the 133rd Psalm. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. If we look at a map of Israel, we see in the very north Mount Hermon, and we see flowing from Hermon the dews that flow upon that mountaintop, extend outward in the Jordan River, watering, irrigating the entire Jordan Valley from Hermon all the way down to the Dead Sea, including the hills around Jerusalem. And as those common waters were the irrigation pattern for the whole of the eastern part of the land of Israel, so the truths of God's word, the treasures of the snow, as it were, that come upon the Mount Hermon, flow downward, and they are the ones that water us today and will eventually water even the Dead Sea and bring life to that sea so that all there may live. Let's close, brethren, by singing together, Onward, Christian Soldiers. We'll rise in the last verse. And brethren, as we seek for this unity of the Spirit, let's keep each other in mind in prayer. We'll ask Brother Tom Ruggiero to close the prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here today. We thank you for thy guidance and thy Spirit to be with us,
Help us, Father, to seek the ideal of being unified in the Spirit, to see a strength in our diversity and how you can bring us together and make us more harmonized and more closely resembling thy dear Son. We thank you, Father, for the example that we have set before us in Jesus. Help us to follow him more closely, and we realize that as we each come closer to him, we will come closer together to one another. We pray that as a group we may honor thee and praise thee with our words and our actions and our thoughts. Help us to bolster one another up as we journey towards the kingdom. We thank you again for your love and mercy towards us, and especially the gift of thy dear, precious Son. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.